The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Let me tell you about my husband here, DJ Automatic. Super, super annoyed at the airport for various reasons. You know when somebody is on their speakerphone and you're just like, what are you doing? Can we talk about this? Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I am Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
What is the deal with people walking around in public and being on speakerphone? It's become the most like normalized, annoying thing that there is out right now.
Whether it's speakerphone or FaceTime, for some reason, you find yourself deeply bothered.
Well, I found myself in their conversation because if you're going to have a FaceTime or a speakerphone conversation in front of me, guess what? We're having a conversation.
You can't do that, Otto. You can't do that.
Well, you shouldn't be on the phone in front of me. And if you're talking about something and I can hear both of you, I'm going to interject.
So I think you, husband, were perturbed because our flight was 50 million years late. I don't necessarily think it was the people around you.
No, every single person around us was on speakerphone.
Every person. Well, they were mad.
For clarification, perturbed means annoyed, right?
Yeah, totally annoyed, and bothered.
I feel like sometimes Automatic lives perpetually annoyed.
I should get him a t-shirt that says perpetually perturbed because it is, and you know what? You now, were so bothered. He I was think, getting on my case. I'm like, I'm just sitting here eating beef jerky, sir. Leave me alone.
I feel like my feelings are justified. That's incredibly rude. How is it not rude to do that?
I'm not 50-50. I'm a little bit more 6-7 on this because I know.
Explain yourself, Anthony. Explain yourself, 6-7.
To a certain extent, I agree with Automatic. Like, you shouldn't be, you know, projecting your phone call out there. But also, I know how nosy DJ Automatic is.
That's why I said we're having a conversation.
That part. No, he's the guy we'll be like, okay, here's just one example. We're at our daughter's cheer meet. There's two couples, four bleachers down from us having a conversation, four bleachers away. He interjects himself and clearly they look back at us like, what is going on? Nobody was talking to you and there was no speakerphone involved, sir.
Don't even remember.
I remember. I think you did it because they were talking about Urban Cowboy. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Keep the speaker phones off when you're around DJ Automatic unless you want him interjecting. We do want National Day right now, though, however. So, Anthony A., what do we have?
Let's shout out the ones who always get overlooked. It's National Middle Child Day.
Oh, poor you if you're a middle child.
Shout out to Matt and Sarah.
They're middle children.
They've been bookended by me and T.
Yeah, your brother and sister. Shout out to my daughter, Stasia. She definitely has middle child syndrome.
She screams middle child.
She does. She does. Anthony, are you a middle child?
Yeah, I'm going to shout out myself like a real middle child has to do. Nobody else is going to do it. All right. And we'll wrap it up on National Vinyl Day. Record Day.
Hey. There's something about a vinyl record that brings me some peace. The warmth of the record, the way it sounds, it's just so amazing. We were at a hotel recently that had old record players and Otto kind of just took over and played in the lounge. And I told him, can I buy one of those little record players? And you know what? He didn't like me spending money. He said, yeah. You can.
Well, I have a lot of record players, so I don't think we need to buy any more.
Yours are expensive Technique turntables. These are like $99.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There are five places you should never, ever use your debit card because you could compromise your bank account. Number one, a gas station, convenience store. Booking travel, never use your debit card. Shopping online, never use your debit card. Bars and restaurants, never use your debit card. I'm trying to make you understand it's different than a credit card. It's linked to all of your money, to all of your information. And there's protection, but it's harder to get your money back than it is had you used a credit card. So that's the difference. And more people are getting scammed. You know?
I had to learn the hard way last year during the holidays. I got this great offer, which I thought was a great offer from T-Mobile, that they were offering me a speaker. And I was like, oh, perfect. I can play all the Christmas music I want right now on this speaker. Let me just give them $19.99 so they can ship it to me. I put in my debit card and now I have a new bank account.
You gave the scammers your information. Yeah, everything was taken. His cleared out trips to God knows where. And I told you not to do it. But
no,
anyway.
That was another time. This time they just...
Oh my gosh, yeah. Otto.
But I do have a new bank account. Shout out to Wells Fargo.
There you go.
So there are places you should use your debit card. I mean, ATMs, for instance, right? Get your money that way.
That's pretty much the only place I use it now. And Apple Pay.
Well, that's not a good idea.
Apple Pay is not a good idea?
Not all of those. The Android and the Apple Pay, no. It's not good. But ATMs, also a secure payment portal, like a car payment, like a mobile phone payment. You know, okay, Michelle's been on hold for a minute. Michelle, welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. I was told you got scammed in a major way. What happened?
I was at a friend's house for the weekend, and I was coming back on a Saturday night. And I was calling my son to let him know that I was on my way home.
Yeah.
I went to use my phone, and the network, it showed me I had no network. And I was like, what? So I'm tripping out.
Oh, my God.
I get home, and I reset my phone, and I do all this. And then I just got this weird feeling in my stomach. I don't know what possessed me to go back and look at my account. I went back and looked at my bank account, and I could just see these charges. And I was like, what? I couldn't use my phone. I couldn't even use Wi-Fi calling.
What?
My other son was home, and his phone was completely non-usable. No Wi-Fi, like no nothing.
Oh my gosh.
Now, and it was not because I didn't pay my bill. My bill is auto-pay. So,
you're like, I knew my bill was paid. I knew there wasn't a bill issue.
My bill was paid. My other son has an iPhone and his was fine. So I just was watching these charges on my bank account. So I just, all I could do was screenshot. So I just started screenshotting everything. So the next day, I had to wait till noon when the store opened. So I get in there, and as I'm going up there, and the girl's helping me, she goes in to log into my account, and it freezes her out.
Even at the phone store?
Yes, at the phone store.
Oh, my gosh.
My son with the iPhone was there with me. His phone was still good. She gets the fraud department on the phone. They are looking at everything. Whatever they do, their magic, they get in the account. They're looking at it. I now had international charges on my account, international service, cable, home phone. And I'm like, wait, what? So, and I'm showing them the screenshots. And as soon as she goes in to look at my son's iPhone, there went his phone. So they were actively in the account while I was in the Spectrum store.
Okay, how did they solve and resolve this? Because this is happening in real time.
They took off all of the eSIMs. I don't know if anybody is aware, when you go into, they usually give you like an eSIM now. My account, none of my phones have eSIMs anymore. Every one of them has a SIM card. Because if I'm capable to go into the store, you should be giving me a SIM card.
What you're saying is they got access to your eSIM and that got access to all of your guys' accounts and they're able to control your phones. Wow.
Yeah. And if you save your phone, like, you know, you have like Google Wallet and Apple Pay and all of those things, they're able to access those things.
So I know that you might call me crazy or whatever, but that's why I don't do Apple Pay and all that stuff. People think I'm crazy. Oh, no. Like, oh, I'm an Apple. Can you Apple Pay me? I'm like, nope.
My 18-year-old says, Mom, you're just at that. You're a dinosaur. And I said, hey, it took me one time, and it was a six-month process to get everything swooped off.
Oh, my gosh.
They had gone to a computer store, bought two laptops. They had some custom paper store they had ordered special paper at. Like, who does that?
They're probably making a counterfeit money.
Yeah, or counterfeit IDs.
Right away, when you said paper, I'm like, uh-uh.
Yeah, these guys are professionals.
They're
scammers.
Absolutely professionals. And you know what? Call me a dinosaur. Yeah. What's that sound that they make in Jurassic Park? That's me. Rawr. Because I am not doing that. I had read about that kind of thing happening with Apple Pay, and I said, I'm not doing it. And my daughters are like, Mom, just, I'm like, no.
When she was first telling the story, I was like, this is basically an ad for Apple. But then.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You know what's an ad for? It's an ad for writing checks. Paper checks is what it is.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Jury selection has begun for the trial of the murder of Tupac Shakur. In my opinion, this is the trial of the century. Can you believe it's been 30 years?
No, I can't.
Since Tupac was murdered. And to this day, it's still an unsolved murder. Now the jury will hear the words of Dwayne Davis, known as Keefe D, who claims he was in the car at the time. How do we know this? He told everybody. He wrote a book about it. And now he's denying it. You know, his defense is saying, oh, these are the words of an old man just trying to make money. There's too much information for me to believe that. Innocent until proven guilty, yes. But police say that he and others that were in the car admitted to doing this years ago. They just didn't have enough evidence. They didn't have the gun.
Well, what they're trying to pin on him is that he was the person who put together the plan. And he's also
the
person.
Car.
No, not drove the car. Put together the plan and also was the one who got the gun.
Okay. I do understand that. Now, listen, this is Keefe D talking about the night that Shakur was killed in Las Vegas, describing the moment they pulled up on a white Cadillac.
We was just all in the car together. Got to the light, and he happened to be hanging out the window. He's hanging out the window like he was in a parade. And we just came. I ain't gonna go into details like that, but You got it in a book. You didn't play it at everything else. You know what I'm saying? It looked like he was reaching, yeah. Once he got to reaching, I got to ducking.
This happened September 7th, 1996, after the Mike Tyson match. There was an altercation between Keefe D and his crew, and Tupac and his crew took it outside. Beyond all that, it's just sad that we've gone this whole time without knowing what happened. Yet, we all know what happened. You know, because we've been told, these are all allegations, by people who knew people, that Puffy hired somebody to have this done, and then Suge hired somebody to have a Biggie taken out as well.
I wonder if Tupac and his relation with the police officers or law at that time kind of like made them not want to solve the case.
That could be that.
Well,
because
he had that incident in Georgia where he had, I think it was Atlanta, where he had shot the two off-duty police officers.
Oh, and they were crooked. If Tupac hadn't stood up for himself and all nobody would ever know. Those cops were dirty. Back to Vegas, though, he was awake when police arrived. And back to what you just said, Anthony, he refused to give a name. And according to Keefe D, Pac saw his face and Suge Knight saw, and they never told because of the code of the streets. Don't do something in front of me because I'm going to tell. All right, we will follow this story as it develops and keep you updated. Be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
You ever been traveling and someone next to you has a service animal, an emotional support dog or kitty? Well, one of these became ill mid-flight, causing humans to get ill mid-flight.
No.
And the plane had to pull over. This is the air traffic control talking to the pilots.
Who is that? This is emergency aircraft.
Coast Street 5085. We got a hazmat situation.
That emergency right in front of us, was that medical?
Sick dog causing sick passengers.
How rude. That's a new one.
That was not on my bingo card.
Sure smells wonderful on there.
Oh, it smells wonderful on there. You need to have your dog
trapped
with you.
Trapped in a tube with nowhere to go.
Why didn't anybody say, it smells rough?
Rough in here. I'm sure it did. That's disgusting. I don't mind animals near me. I love animals. There was this one time, though, I was on a plane, and I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but this woman pulled out canned dog food and started feeding her dog. And she was sitting next to me, and the dog was up. And the smell of the dog and the food, and I was just like, Lord have mercy, can we land the plane?
I thought you were an animal lover.
I do love animals. I didn't even complain. I just turned to the right. Like, I just gave her body language, like, lady, you're upsetting me. Like, that was my body language, you know?
I'm an animal lover, but I'm a lover of human, you know, generosity and care. Like, be nice. What are you doing?
Yeah, that's so rude. That is so rude. I mean, I get the dog was hungry. Can't we wait? That's probably why this dog had an accident. You need to feed the dog on the plane. It's just not okay.
This reminds me of my first day of school, junior year. So I wake up.
Oh, what a great memory.
Yeah, I wake up to this awful smell. I'm like, what is going on? And so I jump out of bed, put my foot down, and guess what I put my foot in?
No.
Dog had a bad little accident right next to my bed. And that was, you know, that was how I got to kick off my junior year of school.
Kick.
Yeah, kick it off, yeah. And then I had to ride the city bus to school after that. I'm gonna tell you, when I showed up to that first day of school, I was not chipper. I was not pleasant.
Who cleaned the poo?
Me. Who else is gonna clean it? It was in my room.
Well, why was the poo in your room?
The dog was probably came into the room and wanted me to let him out, and I wasn't waking
serves
up.
Serves you right. You should have taken him out.
I didn't wake up, and he left me a present.
I had a similar encounter for the first day of fourth grade, because at my old bus stop, it would be like three streets meet at once, and I'll never forget the little Gonzalez brothers. They would always bring their dog. First day of school, and the Gonzalez brothers, sure enough, show up with their little retriever, and he relieves himself on my backpack.
Not the raise of the leg.
The raise of the leg on my backpack. So then, you know, I'm crying because it's my new backpack. I run back home, and then my grandma gets mad at me because I missed a school bus. So then she makes me go to school with all of my new school supplies in a grocery plastic bag. So that's how
I got to wash mine off.
Yeah, dude.
With a grocery bag, you should have taken the pee-pee backpack.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
There is a new artist that I want to play for you, and I want you to guess who it is. You know I don't get too excited about new artists, right? Okay, take a listen right now.
Tell me. Who's that?
Ooh. Oh, I got chills right now. Oh. I have chills right now because if Justin Timberlake and Miguel had a baby, this would be him. Because I need you to give me some peace of mind. Okay, you already know who it is, Otto, so you can't take a guess.
Robin Thicke's son.
No, it's not.
It sounds like Robin Thicke.
That's what I was thinking, dude. That's a good call.
Okay, all right, Anthony, you think Robin Thicke?
I think Robin Thicke. I guess he's coming back, right?
It is not his son. It is not Robin Thicke. It's Magnus Ferrell. Will Ferrell's son.
What?
Comedian Will Ferrell's son sings like
that. Yes. Yeah, I was shooketh when I heard it. The first time I discovered this sound was on the Michelle Obama podcast. I was like, we have to talk about this. Because Will Ferrell was so proud. And it doesn't surprise me, though, because Will Ferrell loves good music. Recently, Complex Magazine had Reese Witherspoon interview Will Ferrell, and he dropped his favorite hip-hop artist.
Goat rapper? I'm going to say...
Snoop Dogg.
No.
Dre.
No.
Tupac.
No.
Biggie.
Nas.
Nas is a great answer.
Nas mentions me in a lyric. So goat equals goat.
Aye, aye, Will Ferrell, goat equals goat.
I'm not going to argue with that.
So I will admit, seeing Magnus Ferrell and knowing he's Will Ferrell's son, I was shocked.
Well, he's obviously brought up in a home of creativity because I'm pretty sure he's a DJ also because Will Ferrell will go and DJ his college parties with him.
He's also, Will Ferrell was the songbird of a generation.
Oh my gosh. I've been Step Brothers.
The songbird of a generation.
You know, there's certain artists, let's be real, that you see them and you're just shocked because they don't look like they sound. Ariana Grande.
Oh.
She's bitty bitty and her voice is big big. Yeah. You know, she just has one of those generational voices, the pipes.
The first time I saw Billie Eilish.
Oh, I did not expect.
I saw her as one thing and then I heard her. I was like, oh, that does not sound like that.
Billie Eilish has one of those voices of the past.
Enchanting.
Enchanting. Yeah, she sounds like a human angel. You know, but I feel like this Magnus Ferrell guy, he's on it right now. He's on one. Olivia Dean has got that old new sound that people are just embracing. That's what he sounds like to me.
The old new sound might be the new wave.
Oh, DJ Automatic, that part right there.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.